is the Hot Corner on the Sports Superstation with your host, Ryan McKenna.
All right, hello and welcome to the episode 12 of the Hot Corner 2009 edition. I'm here with Adam Connolly for our part two of the two-part feature of the month, which is our trade deadline this month of July. We have three questions today for Adam, all kind of going around, well, two of them are going around the trade. Well, one of them is about the All-Star Game. This episode will feature lots of All-Star Game talk, a couple induction into an Atlanta Hall of Fame, a little bit of news coming out of the Red Sox camp, and most importantly, our feature of the month. Let's get started with that.
The Hot Corner feature of the month.
How you doing, Adam?
I'm good. How are you?
Great, thanks. All right, we're going to start off this episode first with your intro song. All right, awesome. Yeah, so you see it by Pitbull. Our first question, Adam, is there any more news on the Halladay front or any other trades for that matter?
It's actually been a really quiet week considering that the deadline is less than a week away, or I guess a little over a week away, but it's getting closer. Nonetheless, there hasn't been a whole lot of talk, just kind of the same, you know, the same stuff with Halladay. There's articles every day, but it's, you know, a lot of it's just beat writers kind of pushing the same info. Yeah. There's not really a whole lot of new stuff. Looks like as far as front runners goes, a lot of people still think that the Phillies are in the lead. They have the payroll flexibility to take on his salary, and they have the top-notch prospects that the Jays are looking for. From what I've been reading, St. Louis and Anaheim are both still interested, but I don't think quite at the packages Philly can come up with. One slightly new piece of info that was coming on kind of towards the weekend there was, I guess, San Francisco possibly looking into possibly making a move since they're kind of in good shape with the wild card. I'm not sure exactly what they would be willing to give up. They do have a few good prospects. It may even include someone like Jonathan Sanchez, who we knew threw the no-hitter there last week. So that could get interesting. If the Giants could pick up something like that, they might be able to even make a run at the Dodgers for the division, because, you know, you think Halladay, Lincecum, and Matt Cain at the front of a rotation is pretty sick.
They're pretty good this year, too. Randy Johnson's pitching very well.
Yeah, I think the Giants would be better served to go get a bat, because their offense is just fair, but if you can't find a good, I mean, it's almost like the Red Sox situation. There's not a whole lot of good bats out there, so if you can't get a bat, why not get the best pitcher?
Exactly, yeah. Now, you said the Phillies would probably be the front runners. I'm just going to name off their starting rotation right now. Cole Hamill, Jamie Moyer, Blanton, J.A. Happ, and Rodrigo Lopez / Pedro Martinez. We'll talk about Pedro in just a second here. But which one of those guys can you see being traded for Halladay or replaced by Halladay?
Well, another good start yesterday by Happ would suggest that maybe the Jays would want him part of a deal. You would have to think he would be the guy that would get replaced based on contracts and whatnot. But although, again, to compare it to the Red Sox, if he were not to get traded and they were to send him down, it's almost a waste, somewhat similar to what the Sox have going on with Buchholz. They always say you can never have too much pitching, which is true, but at the same time, it'd be a shame to have a guy that talented pitching the minors, although unless they're going to move somebody else, I can't see. With the money they're paying guys like Moyer and Blanton, it would be surprised to see them get moved, but it's hard to say. Moyer had a good start this week. Blanton's kind of been hit or miss all season, but I think that after the picking up Pedro, assuming he can stay healthy, of course, you would think that they would want him to stay in the rotation. So unless Happ has moved and part of the deal, I would say he would probably be the odd man out.
All right, now you mentioned Clay Buchholz here. How would you evaluate his start from Friday night there, his first of the season?
I thought he had a great start. Just gave up the one earned run. He got through almost six innings, 5 2/3, I believe. And I think it was just four hits. So he did well. This is a guy that's got plenty of talent. He would be on about, well, probably any other rotation in baseball besides Boston. He would probably have a rotation spot. I think Boston are definitely keeping one warm for him next year, assuming he doesn't get dealt. But I'm sure it's quite frustrating for him. He did express a little frustration earlier this season. And it's kind of hard to blame them in a way whenever you're tearing up. I mean, you can only do so much in the minor leagues. Yeah,
he's 7-2 with a 2.38 ERA.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's not much more you can do at the AAA level. He struggled last year in the majors, but, of course, he had the no-hitter there 2 summers ago. So we know we can bring in at the major league level, and I'd personally like to see the Red Sox give him more of a chance. But unless there's an injury to Wakefield or Penny or Smoltz or someone, I just don't see it right now. But no, it was a good signing. It was a good showing. If Boston are looking to move him to get a big piece at the deadline, it was definitely improved his value for sure.
Do you think that he could be trade bait?
It's possible. It's certainly possible. Epstein is really doesn't like to move young pitching, and Buchholz seems to be kind of the prize jewel there. But if they were to get a Halliday, or if they're really going to make a push for a Victor Martinez or someone to that caliber, he would probably have to be included. They do have a lot of depth in their farm system, and even in the majors with young guys like Masterson and Daniel Baird, so they could possibly move some of those guys instead. But I would say that Buchholz, to get a big name, they would have to move him. I would still be surprised if he is dealt, though. I don't think he'll be moved.
Awesome. Let's move on to the second question here. It was finalized earlier this week, the Pedro Martinez deal. Do you think it's a good signing for the Phillies here, the defending world champs, or could be a waste of their time/money?
It's hard to say. I mean, they signed him and put him right on the DL, so hopefully that's not a sign of things to come.
Yeah.
They knew that was going to be the case when they did sign him, of course. Pedro he's an interesting guy. You know, he's quite possibly the best pitcher. Well, I think he is the best pitcher of his era, back towards the tail end of the mid to late 90s when he was with the Expos, and then the first few years at Boston, he was about as unhittable as you get. However, he just kind of, with injuries and whatnot, he really just tailed off quite quickly because he's really not even that old. I can't think of his age now, but I'm thinking 36, 37-ish. Which isn't that old when you see guys like Randy Johnson and some of these guys that, you know, power pitchers that are still going into their 40s. But Pedro's the type of guy, he always likes to prove people wrong. He's got a chip on his shoulder. So for that reason, I could see him coming out and having a good year, trying to play for a contract next season. If he stays healthy, I think he can probably do it. But health, I think, is going to be the biggest thing for him. If he can hold up and pitch for the next few months to help the Phillies into the playoffs and beyond.
Exactly. Yeah, he had a good WBC as well, so that definitely.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and he's had some rest. You know, he hasn't pitched or not pitched regularly now for quite a while. So that should help with the injury. You know, building up his arm strength and his shoulder and whatnot. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Awesome. Question number three, Adam. Julio Lugo. He was designated for assignment there earlier this week. What do you make of that situation?
Oh, I think it was just a matter of time. The way Nick Green was playing for the Red Sox this year at shortstop, he was outplaying Lugo. Simple as that. Lugo just has never lived up to the big contract that he got. And now that Jed Lowry's back for the Sox, Lowry's probably that's who Boston's looking to as their long-term shortstop. So, and then with Green playing so well, and Green can play a number of positions, so he's kind of solidified himself as the backup/utility guy. So there really is no room for Lugo. They weren't able to trade him for anything, really, because of his really high salary, $9 million per year. He's got the rest of this year, plus next year as well. So they really weren't going to be able to get anything for him. So at this point, you're better off, you know, just to bite the bullet and eat out the contract and go from there.
All right, awesome. Now, for those fans who didn't hear, the All-Star game took place on Tuesday there. Justin Morneau, who is a Canadian boy, he was a little bit offended. Now, the Canadian anthem was not sung. It was just a recording of the Canadian national anthem. Morneau was quite upset that the Canadian national anthem was not sung and the American national anthem was. Now, he says that, look at if the All-Star game was in Toronto and we didn't play the American national anthem, it would have been a huge deal. Now, my question for you, Adam, is were you offended by the recording, I guess you could say, of the Canadian national anthem and it not being sung?
Well, to be honest, it didn't really offend me. I didn't really even think much of it, to be perfectly honest. I was only kind of half paying attention at that point, waiting for the game to start. So it's not something that really angered me, although I think it's great that Morneau is kind of stepping up and saying something. You know, like he said, if the game was in Toronto and it was vice versa, you know, it would have been a major, major deal. Now, I realize that there's more Americans and it's quote-unquote America's ball game and whatnot, but, you know, when there is a Canadian team in the league, I think that they probably should have done it. As a Canadian, of course, we'd like to hear it. And I think it's great that Morneau's kind of stepping up, you know, and showing, you know, that he's proud to be Canadian and where he's from. Canadian baseball has been getting better and better over the years, and we do have some great players in the majors right now with him and Bay and, you know, and a number of guys. So it's definitely working. It's going in the right direction. So this just helps kind of promote baseball in Canada, and it's nice to see that he's proud to be from here. But as far as offending me, it didn't personally offend me, but sure, some people probably would argue the other way.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to get back together there on August 3rd, which is the show after the trade deadline. July 31st is next Friday, I believe, and that is the trade deadline. So, yeah, we'll be back here, Adam, on August the 3rd to recap the trade deadline. We'll pass things over to the news now, and I'd like to thank you again, Adam. Your time was much appreciated.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoy doing this. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. So, yeah, we'll kick things over to the news.
The Hot Corner News. Back at the studios here for some news. Let's start it off with some home run derby stuff. Prince Fielder is the winner of the 2009 State Farm Home Run Derby. Fielder belted a total of 23 home runs, including a 503-foot blast to deep right center field, to oust the Texas Ranger outfielder Nelson Cruz. Once again, the American League are winners at the All-Star Game. The American League beat the National League in St. Louis on Monday by a score of 4-3. Carl Crawford, who made an outstanding catch late in the ballgame, secured the win for the American League, and also receiving the Most Valuable Player honors. But it was really the American League pitching that baffled the offense of the National League, as after the second inning, they did not score any more runs and had very limited amount of hits. As we talked about earlier in the show, Pedro Martinez was signed by the Phillies to a one-year, $1 million contract. He was immediately placed on the 15-day disabled list with a shoulder strain. Greg Maddux, one of the all-time Atlanta Brave greats, was inducted into the Braves Hall of Fame over the weekend. Maddux had some of his best years in a Braves uniform alongside Tom Glavine and John Smoltz. It was discussed after the ceremonies about the chance that Maddux could be an instructor at the Braves spring training next year. That would be quite a treat, and we will keep you posted on that. BJ Ryan, the ex-Blue Jay, was signed to a minor league contract with the Chicago Cubs earlier in the week. BJ is expected to give the Cubs an extra left-handed arm in the bullpen. He will be working out at the Cubs' spring training facility and work his way up to the majors from there. I'd like to give a shout-out to Nick Gate on following us on Twitter. You can follow me as well on Twitter for the up-to-the-minute updates of our episodes here. Nick wanted some more news about the Rockies. Well, unfortunately, Nick, very hard to find some news this week. We mentioned a little bit last week about the possibility of Garrett Atkins coming to the Red Sox. We'll try to incorporate more into our next episode once the news comes up. But thanks for tuning in, Nick, if that's your real name. The Arizona Diamondbacks traded second baseman Felipe Lopez to the Brewers for a pair of minor leaguers. Lopez is expected to fill the void left by Ricky Weeks, who had season-ending wrist surgery in May. That'll wrap up our news. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in to our 12th episode. Unfortunately, there wasn't a whole lot of trade talk to talk about this past week, but if it does arise, we could have a special guest visit from Adam Connolly. It won't be a feature of the month thing, but just a quick little talk with him about the trades that arise. Once again, I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. If you'd like to have our up-to-the-minute updates, you can follow me on Twitter, Ryan McKenna, and my Twitter account is RyeGuy11. Thanks again, guys, and I'll post a couple links here for this episode. Thanks again for tuning in, and have a good week, folks. This has been a presentation of the Sports Superstation. This show was written, directed, and produced by Ryan McKenna. Technical director is Matthew McKenna. Assistant technical director is Mitchell McKenna. Special analyst, Adam Connor. Thanks for tuning in. Run, but I couldn't move. Well, I paid for these concrete shoes. But like the singer that sings the blues, you saw hope in the hopeless. I'm not dying. All you did was save my life. Pull me out of that flat line. Put the heartbeat back inside. I'm not dying. All you did was get me through. I owe every breath to you.
in the room. Like a Red Sea, you split me open. Somehow knew these wings were stolen. I'm not dying. All you did was save my life. Pull me out of that flat line. Put the heartbeat back inside. I'm not dying. All you did was get me through. I owe every breath to you. Heart and soul unparalyzed. All you did was save my life. All you did was save my life. Yeah.